You are listening to Let's Go JoJo, the weekly JoJo's Bizarre Adventure podcast from Dynamite in the Brain and Secret of the Sailor Madness. On today's show, we have Anthony Askew, Dwayne Maloney, Niall Flanagan, and me, Brian Smith. This week's episode, Who Shall Judge?
We will, because we are the guys with the podcast talking about JoJo, that's who.
Oh yeah, that's true. I hadn't thought of that.
Just in case you didn't know, this podcast was all about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure after that introduction. Anyway, so first of all, the week in JoJo's news, of which I found one item, which was told repeatedly to me through Google Alerts, that there was a demo of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure All-Star Battle available on the PlayStation Network.
Oh, yes. In America, though.
No, it's also available on the UK one.
Oh, is it really?
Yes. Yeah. That wasn't any of the news items. And getting it is a little tricky because there's a link when you go into like the UI of your place or whatever you want to call it. So there's a link comes up on the like a shortcut on the PlayStation Store saying JoJo's Bizarre Adventure All-Star Battle Demo. So I clicked on it, hit download, came back this evening, started it up, and it was JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Whatever it was, the previous one, the one they did in HD.
The Dreamcast one, is it?
Yeah. Like, what? Okay. What? What you told me to download. So I checked again, clicked through the link again, and yes, it was the HD one. But if you go into the store, you can find it in the store and get the All-Star Battle demo.
And have you tried it yet?
No, because I've only downloaded 49% of it so far.
Oh, I really want to play that game.
It looks pretty bad. Awesome.
Let's all download it and play it.
And then I haven't got a PS3.
Oh.
So.
Also Xbox.
The thing is, though, I don't want to see characters too early. I want to see them as they come.
Well,
in the
it's
show.
A demo. I believe you can only play Dio, JoJo, and
which JoJo? Seven of them. Eight now. Well, actually, guys, yeah, still seven.
Jotaro.
Okay.
And
but that'll be revealing Dio. We haven't actually seen him fully yet.
And Your current Skype icon also is available to play. Fantasy.
Oh, I was hoping it was the Robot Tiger.
No.
I thought it was anyone. Yes.
A brief cameo from the Robot Tiger from 8-Man.
Holding out for 8-Man All-Star Battle.
That'd be pretty good. You get like Ice-Fingered Executioner, Chief Bumblethumbs, Napoleon the 13th. It's a good roster there.
Yeah, Batman as a secret character.
And then it'd be 8-Man versus Capcom versus DC versus Mortal Kombat.
Wow.
In an ideal world, in a perfect world. The only kind of weird oddities I can kind of find is that because JoJo's streaming legally, people are kind of posting all their JoJo kind of weird ephemera on Twitter and all sorts, and I got this little image of, which Brian phoned me, was Shokotan, what's her face, the idol singer.
Oh, is it one where she wants to get punched?
Yeah, that's the one. Let's post there. Just to refresh your memory.
What?
It's like, yeah, you know, it's like, she drew a lovely picture of Jotaro, and it's just like, you know, and just asking, oh, so why Jotaro? And it's just, we can't like him, you know, I just wanted to get all out by him, and then he'll say, give me a break. So it's like, okay,
it's
lady.
So true.
I mean, it's a very good drawing, but I've seen what he does in this episode when he aura as someone. That's, you don't want that.
Well, this JoJo, he's a real lady killer. In more ways than one.
Okay, so who wants to do the synopsis for this week's episode? Who shall judge?
Oh, I'm not judging. I never judge synopsis.
I can go again? Okay.
You can have a go again, yeah.
Right, so Jotaro, he goes to school. And I swear, Jerry takes a nasty tumble down the steps and almost breaks his neck, if not for, you know, his stand. We've gone to a tree branch, a break in his fall. And it's like, oh, what happened there? Like, he's got a bad cut in his leg. And thinking, huh, no, the cut is why I fell in the first place. And then he's helped up by mysterious transfer student, Noriaki Kakion, who offers him his handkerchief and tells him to go to the nurse's office. So away he goes. So he goes to the nurse's office, and the nurse is like, kind of coming on to him, wanting to cut him out of his pants and all sorts of that. And, you know, but JoJo's all like, no, I'll just take him off, no need to waste my pants. Like, so while he's about to do that, she tends to the other two delinquent students who are just, like, mitching off school but pretending that they have a high fever. And then suddenly she goes completely bananas and starts attacking them with a fountain pen and stabbing them in the face. And then when she's teamed to them, she tries to attack Jotaro then. And it's revealed that she's been possessed by a stand controlled by one Noriaki Kakion, the mysterious new transfer student. And so to have like a battle of wits, against, Jotaro's stand as it's named and Kaki Owen's Hero Fan Green, which is kind of a strange, kind of reptilian snake-like stand that can possess people and ooze a strange liquid that transforms into emeralds that he shoots out of people.
I was going to say, he's more of a tapeworm, I'd say, than...
Oh, yeah, he's awful. With a Bane mask.
Yeah.
It is a bit.
We're really yuck. Anyways, Jotaro overpowers him, defeats him, and takes him home to Joseph and Avdol, see if we can get some information about Dio out of the dude. And this revealed that, you know, he's actually being mind-controlled by Dio via a disgusting flesh bud implanted into his brain, and is to be continued.
Meanwhile, Joseph and Avdol were just having tea, I guess.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what they spent this whole episode.
An American coffee.
Complaining about Japan and how shit it is.
He is the best dad jumper I've ever seen. Maybe not the best, but it's pretty up there.
It is. It's a nasty Christmas. Not even Christmas jumper. It's just grim to look at. I bet it's very warm, though.
Mm.
I want to discuss the intro.
All right.
We finally got it.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything that I wanted it to be. You know, we're getting tidbits. We're getting Joseph swinging around like Indiana Jones. And yeah. It's just, oh, it was great. At first, it starts a bit mellow, and I was like, oh, don't let me down. And it just kicks ass. It's great.
I'm not nuts about it. Maybe it's one of those things, you know, it's kind of grown yet, but it didn't. Is that really, like, really grabbing me from the off, like the one Bloody Stream, and then before that, I think
Bloody
like
Stream's
JoJo,
perfect, yeah.
the Fate of the Blood, or the Fate of Blood. That was really like kind of rocking. Everyone prefers Bloody Stream, but I like the previous one equally as well.
Mm.
This one, I don't know. Like I said, maybe it's a little bit of a grower. And still no outro.
Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, still no outro either. I don't know if you're going to like do anything with that at all. We've just got like a black screen that's played a bit of the internal music from the show. Like,
are they hyping up to something big, possibly? Or maybe just next episode we'll get it.
Maybe try, like, you know, maximize their reach by not putting in like a song in there at all, and so they wouldn't have to negotiate the rights for a new song. No,
that's awesome.
I imagine, I guess they haven't got the rights to Roundabout anymore for any new ones. So I would have been totally fine with that. But I don't know.
I mean, like, I feel like the ending thing with Roundabout, like especially the with all the Aztec Wall stuff, is like we're kind of done with that now. So it would make sense for them to move on.
But it's when Roundabout would song. Kick in. When it kicks in, it's like it would come at the most perfect time. It's like they thought more about when that would come in than everything else, because it was so well timed. And I was like, oh, fantastic. But yeah, I'm on board with this intro. Little tidbits of the new characters and the stands, and I don't know. I love all the CG stuff as well. Like, I think it looks really awesome. Like, if it's gonna look like that throughout the series, I'll be that's great.
I always thought the CG intro was like, I know the game came out just a little bit after the first TV show, but it was kind of like, no, this is like an ad for the game. It'll look a lot like this, and it does.
We should say the opening theme is called Stand Proud.
Yeah.
By Jin Hashimoto, whoever that is.
See, I thought it sounded very familiar on one of the verses. It sounds like I've heard it before. I don't know whether that guy or group, whoever it is, or whatever, has done other intros for anime, but it definitely sounds familiar. And I have a very acute sense of sound, kind of picking stuff up like that. So I'm betting you it's been elsewhere, that guy.
Is that anything like your cloud sense?
My cloud sense, which we've discussed many times, is very... That's my stand power. I have a very... good attention to detail.
Is that right?
What?
Listeners, please go back to last week's episodes where Anthony can't remember how Joseph lost his hand.
Oh, I have a great attention to detail. But the worst memory, that's the weakness to my stand. I'll forget
it. When it's happening right now, you're fine. But if it happened like a while ago, you just, yeah. Nope.
No, it might as well have never existed. Okay. I don't remember. Could you also pronounce what was his name?
Noriaki Kakyoin.
Kakyoin. I will learn that, but I'm just calling them Rembrandt for now, because you know he was painting and stuff.
Yeah, like, I thought I didn't know of initially, you know, and it kind of got me again that, like, his stand power or something to do was attacking people through paintings, you know, but I think it was just, it was more, I guess, his stand attacking, you know, invisibly rather than anything else. Mm. But wasn't that a really kind of, I guess, a nice one would be kind of stylized portrait of Joe Taro. I would call it kind of rubbish. I know, it's a little off. The proportions aren't quite right. Well, I guess
not
well,
quite muscly enough, yeah.
Something I want to mention, you know when they're in the hospital, when the nurse first goes completely crazy? Right. When she's off screen slashing the pen, I thought she had a scalpel cutting her own body. And I was like, oh my God, please do not cut back to that, because that is going to be awesome.
Otherwise, it was a bit too much for me.
Like, I genuinely thought she was just, like, cutting away at herself, because I don't know how crazy, like, the Rembrandt guy is. I don't know what he's willing to do. But when the hood, like, the thug gets stabbed in the eye, that is, that's brutal. I'm going soft with all this gore and censorship. Thank God it was censorship.
Yeah, the worst thing that guy did was this, you know, trying to bitch off school. He didn't deserve to get stabbed in the eye over it.
Like, yeah, I totally got a cold. Ah, my fucking eye!
And does she kill both of them?
No, they get away.
Just brutally innocent. It's like, well, the pain in the eye will make you forget about your cold. I see, I cured you.
Exactly. So it's just the same as her when she bleeds heavily and falls to the ground. As Dr. Cujo points out, she'll be okay as soon as someone treats her wounds. Meanwhile, I'm just going to go out the hole in the wall.
There is suddenly... one minute they're on, like, the third floor, and then he steps out the window, ground floor. I was like, oh, okay. But, yeah, he does total the building. I was like, oh, my God, this is, like, second episode in, and it's so fantastically awesome.
I did like when he gets cut in the leg. It appeared like half his leg got cut through, and he does this crazy flip down the stairs that it seems to never hit the ground. The best part of that was him grabbing onto the tree branch with the stand and then landing on the ground. It's like, oh, I must have cut my leg when I fell. Wait a minute. No, that happened before. So he continues the Joe Star tradition of being an idiot.
Maybe he's got the same memory weakness as the last
dude. Same stand power, maybe.
I disagree. The best bit about that is the fact that when he's fallen over, you get to see his incredibly dainty ankles that he picked up.
That's right.
How do they support his triangular... physique.
His log legs.
Well,
man's ankles are.
His stand's just holding him up all the time, and he's like,
yeah. Like, so strong.
Yes.
When he falls down those stairs, onlookers, those girls must have looked like the craziest thing. Because obviously they can't see the stand, but he just defies gravity. It must look pretty funny.
So, well, where did he fall? He's kind of launched himself up the stairs.
Does he take his hands out of his pockets at any stage?
But yeah, he's flying through the area and he's trying to like, grab a branch. So he just said, no, stand, grab a branch from me and break my fall. It's just this some weird, crazy flip. You know, it looked that way in the manga as well. I was just flicking through that chapter today and someone saying, maybe this will make more sense when they animate it, but no, it's still crazy, gravity-defying leaps.
It's true to form, yeah.
Do you think he overreacts? Because it's only a cut in his leg.
It looks like a pretty
and
big...
And he dives! Thing. He just... You know.
I don't know. Like, he was, like, kind of stuck in that bush and he's, like, kind of tangled out there. Blood is spraying from the wound.
It is a deep wound.
Yeah, they do establish later on that he's never been injured in a fight.
Mm-hmm. Also, he doesn't know what it's like. He's like that guy from Cromarty who doesn't know if he could win a fight because he's too tough. Actually have been in a fight.
Makes sense. I've never kind of like high school delinquent show about there.
My attention to detail in this episode nearly paid off awesomely because I didn't realise, you know, Jotaro's belt. I thought it was the same colours as Caesar Zeppeli's headband.
I was thinking,
but it's not. Unfortunately, it's not. I'd have been like, "Yep, this is great," but instead, it's just really good.
Also, his belt is two belts.
Yep.
Oh yeah. I'm gonna start dressing exactly like that.
What, like with a giant chain on your collar?
Giant chain, ridiculous hat.
Actually, another thing about the guys in this, their shoulders, like through the jackets, it appears they have like robot shoulders. They're like a. it's very odd looking. They're not round, you know, like a human muscle. It's more like.
It is 1987.
It's like a truck tire.
It's 1987, so shoulder pads are in fashion okay. Right now.
Even in jumpers?
Oh, yeah, it is.
Shoulder pads and pajamas, never mind just jumpers.
And apparently, like, not wearing his socks, because, you know, I don't think Joe Turo, like, wears socks. He doesn't seem to, because you can see a lot of ankle there.
Mm. Yeah. He's got, like, Popeye ankles. Like,
top heavy. You're kind of right, yeah.
Aren't those girls who are hassling him pretty great, too?
Yes.
Yeah, particularly the one with the crazy red perm.
I love those hairstyles. It's like, this is like set in the 80s. It's going to look just like this. No one will go, like, keep it all period accurate. And they're all, like, hassling him. And he just tells them, shut the hell up, you're so annoying. And I'm like, oh, he talked to me. No, he talked to me, you bitch.
Oh, they totally love that bad attitude. That's what I've been doing wrong all of these years.
Just like his mom, you see.
Treat him mean, keep him keen.
He's a massive misogynist in this episode. Like, when the nurse attacks him, it's like, this is more than a woman's strength.
And one of those girls, like, they're checking him after he's like taking a nasty fall. They're all going, oh, George, are you okay? And there's a crowd of them there. And they just keep multiplying. Like, the rope is getting longer and longer.
That's how much sexual magnetism he has. He's just given birth to new schoolgirls.
Wow.
Actually, when Kakuyin came down the stairs, that was, like, pretty baller, you know? That scarf wrapped around your thing, and he's walking down in the most dainty way possible. Like, give Jojo a handkerchief. I was like, it looks like he's totally into him, too.
Yeah, he's voiced by Daisuke Hirakawa, and he apparently is the Japanese dub voice for Orlando Bloom.
Oh my god.
That's up.
It does, yeah.
Now I want Orlando Bloom to play him in the live action.
I don't. I definitely don't. So in Japan, do you think they would kind of, they'd be watching this and be like, oh my god, it's Legolas?
Maybe not.
Yeah. But he was most recently, he was Momotaro in Hozuki no Reitetsu. That's the only real thing I recognized him from as a big role. Mm. He was one of the penguins in Polar Bear Cafe.
Oh, good
again, they're a beautiful man. Polar Bear Cafe.
Actually, talking to Kaikin, he totally outdoes Joseph's thing of stuffing a pigeon into someone's mouth.
That's true. Yes.
It's like, oh, this is it's so much worse.
My entire, like, weird, slimy stand stuffed in there, and Jotor, he manages to extract the stand. Wait, no, sir. But going in for a snog. Going in for the kiss. And, like, the nurse's shirt, like, the buttons all pop open, exposing her heaving bosom before he grabs her close and just goes in for it.
That's the magnetism again.
Again, yeah. It's a spontaneous, like act of eroticism is happening around him.
There was nothing erotic about it, though. He was pulling a ghost out of her colon with his teeth. So, I mean, there's nothing erotic about the situation.
I know. If fucking Shokotan is getting, like, you know, turned down again, punched up by Jotaro, then, you know, I guess there's somebody out there who's getting their kicks off from seeing some weird monster being pulled out by the teeth from this woman's body.
Somewhere.
Oh, dear.
Is the word, is it Hierophant? Hierophant Green? Yeah. Is that like a Hierophant? Referring to anything, or
it's one of the tarot cards again. It would
like
be the equivalent of the Pope, so it would be the Green Pope.
The Green Pope.
Alright, better stand then.
Pope Green.
Pope Green.
Pope Green.
well, has it been? Like a Pope Green, they're all like Benedict Paul or something like that.
It sounds like a title for a Harold and Kumar film. Harold and Kumar. Pope Green. I don't know.
It sounds like something that they would smoke in Harold and Kumar.
Exactly. The pipe's like a little mitre hat. No, we shouldn't be going into this stuff.
No.
It's not very
friendly. Well, it's just, even when Jotaro is being attacked by a possessed nurse, you know, he sees a weird, like, kind of tendril, going up the nurse's back to, possess her. Even when he's been sent a note, saying, Jotaro, I'm gonna kill you today, signed Kakyo and Noriaki, you're still thinking, well, he's been attacked by a nurse. Wait a minute, was Kakyo the one who cut my leg on the stairs?
Yes. Like, I shouted at the screen, yes, you idiot.
Maybe he thought it was the nurse trying to get him into the nurse's room.
The dude sent him a note. Not only, I'm going to beat you up after school, but like, I'm going to murder you after school. he seems a bit slow on the uptake, all right.
Like, he's very, very cool, you know, but...
Yeah. That kind of detachment, like, from everyone else means you're not paying attention as well.
Yeah. like we'll see as the series goes on, he is, you know, a lot of the other kind of, like, good guys, you know, they come up with, like, a brilliant plan to overcome the enemy. His plan is usually just punch it until it stops moving.
You've seen that works pretty well here.
Are they ever going to do, like, a JoJo's game in the style of the Fist of the North Star game, like the Dynasty Warriors style? Because that would be really good.
There's not really, like, a supply of, like, disposable goons in Jojo's Bizarre Adventure. Like,
a
week ago.
Maybe one-on-one or groups on groups, yeah.
Maybe
Dio's, like, vampire thugs.
Yeah, I was thinking if it had to be from, like, an earlier installment.
Yeah, that could be done.
I would totally play that.
I don't know. The Fist of North Star film was okay for a while, but I was too as welcome sometimes.
I did like the actual use of the first aura kind of stuff, where he's basically strangling him and then beating his skull in to the other stand. And then the dude appears to, Kakuyan appears to bleed from every place.
He's punched all his blood out.
He'll be fine once he gets to the doctor. It's like, no! That man is dead.
Wasn't it great, like, when he grabs him with one hand, and then gets a fist of the ace, lines up his knuckles one by one, and goes right in. And you get like the slow-mo hit, you know, it's like shattering Hero Fran's green face, and that would be enough, but then it just keeps going. It was kind of, just the way it was so brutal, it was kind of a weird thing. It reminded me of like, something like, maybe Tom and Jerry or something like that, or Looney Tunes, where,
it's actually deforming, yeah.
Yeah, where, like, was that Spike the Bulldog might, like, no, what was it? No, it was Foghorn Leghorn, like, grabbing, like, the dog, or his name was, and it's, like, spanking his ass to a 2x4, like, like that, but with punching.
I can see it. Somebody needs to draw this and tumble it.
Foghorn Leghorn going, aura, on that dog.
So you want to see Fogleg's Bizarre Adventure, do you? Oh,
maybe, yeah.
That'd be great.
It would be aura, aura. I say.
Oh, good God.
Oh, that is profound. Oh. How strong is Jotaro's stand? Because obviously, you know, it's two episodes in. It seems like he is so unbelievably strong that no one can really beat him. Obviously, I know someone's going to come along, and
I think it's just like it just beats the shit out of things. It's fast and strong, and not really fancier beyond that, which is kind of fun because everyone else is like, "Ooh, I got this thing, and it does this thing when I do this, and I use a little puppet." And it's like, "Yeah, I'm just going to beat the shit out of you."
F your gimmicks. F your gimmicks.
I kind of wonder what it's about. What kind of JoJo was that? Like, he starts off like this strong, and he stays that way. But he encounters opponents that, you know, he can't beat by brute force alone. You got to, like, try to outthink him, and there's no, like, no, it's in a tight spot, you know, I'm going to win because, you know, I'm going to believe in myself and just hit him harder. It's more like, you know, okay, I got to apply my punching ability in a different way than what I'm used to. I use my Joestar brain, even though we're not renowned for our thinking, really. Besides Joseph, I suppose.
Well, they're renowned for being sly, but they are all very stupid.
His mother is...
Oh, my God.
I feel sorry for her. I think she's a great character, but she brings it upon herself. Mm. She's too soft with him.
Does she fancy him?
I didn't even want to bring that up. Because I thought... I was thinking it, but I didn't want to be the one to bring it up.
Well, I mean, I guess she loves him because he's her kid, but she acts like a teenager, so that comes across very weirdly.
Yeah, like she's trying to like win over his love, which I guess she has to in this case, because he ain't got none to give.
And also because her husband is never seen.
Yeah.
He must be rich. They got a sweet house.
He's a musician, isn't he?
He's a famous jazz musician.
That's right, yeah. I'm thinking even out about how big the house is.
I'm thinking this like this whole rebellious phase Jojo's going for is this because he's mad at his dad being absent all the time.
Oh, that's a sad story, man.
Yeah,
I like how his mother's photograph of Jotaro is very current. It's a present photograph of him right at this point in time.
Well, it's a rare smile. It's a rare smile. I gotta get this. He might never ever smile again. I gotta get this right now.
Oh man!
Yeah, two episodes in. It's insane that it's this good after two episodes. It's great. Go on, Brian. Sorry.
Yes, on the last episode, I mentioned that some old Shonen Jump manga, which had loads of band shows in, and the one I was particularly thinking of is Otoko Ippiki Gaki Daisho, which apparently translates as the ideal man boy's gang leader.
That's unfortunate.
The ideal man, yeah, I don't know. It's the comic is by Hiroshi Motomiya, who went on to do much later Salaryman Kintaro about a band show in the business world. But no, the lead character in that has a hat which sort of turns into hair.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We discussed this with Niall before, because I found a picture of it. He thought it was like a visor.
Like a 1920s, like, notary's visor, or like the guy who'd be the dealer at, like, a poker table, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but then I found a second picture where it's flying off the top of the guy's head, and it does have the hair still attached, so it appears to just be a really battered hat.
Okay, does Jotaro ever take off his hat?
Oh, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Oh.
He did last episode, the very, very first time before he stole the gun to fire at his head.
I guess he has, yeah.
I guess that kind of defeats the theory of that his hair, his hair is styled into the shape of a hat. Except for the back where he can't see. Unless he turns his head around that way.
Yeah.
And, the main character in this also has the twig and leaves in his mouth, which is
Macko
from, Borrows.
I see it a lot in other kind of Bonjour things as well.
But this is from 1969, so I'm guessing this may be where it was popular in comics.
Yeah. You're also saying that he's got like stuff stuck around that hat too, to accessorize it.
Badges and shit, does
too, yeah. And I was saying that they do that too in Life Aquatic, but the different kind of badges on their head, so I wonder if there's some kind of connection.
That'd be awesome. He was part of the Zisu crew.
So would you like to see a live-action adaptation with Owen Wilson as Jotaro and Bill Murray as Joseph?
Where's Anderson's Jojo Bizarre Adventure?
Could they all wear, like, huge muscle suits? Because that would be great.
It would be so ridiculous. I can see it, though. It would be done so well.
Just get him on the old human growth hormone. Don't need to get muscle suits.
Oh, God.
Get him all worked out. Bill Murray juiced to the gills.
The Royal Jaw Stars.
I think we could be on something, yeah.
Mm.
I know we are. I'll contact Wes. You love it. Or you just mean what? Or you just mean... like, really swollen Bill Murray. I don't know.
Rushmore is our adventure.
Just have stop-motion bodies.
What, with live-action heads?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. We're going down a dark alley.
That's terrifying.
Anything else to add, or shall we wrap it up for today?
Anything else to add? No, nothing like that. We get kind of like a quite a good... proper cliffhanger Like one of this, like this weird flashboard. What the hell is that all about? This weird kind of thing stuck into Kaki Owen's brain. And, I kind of counted in my mind where they're going to stop it. And I thought, figured right about there would be the good place. And I was right.
And it did.
Yeah. And I also get a bit more Dio, speaking as well. He's so mostly just kind
seems to want to kill everyone because he's psychically connected to the Joestar line.
Well, it's annoying. He's probably like hearing all their thoughts. It's like Professor X from X-Men. Like, before he learned to control his power, he was hearing everybody's thoughts all the time.
I just who think whose thoughts he's hearing. Yeah. Imagine how annoying that would be.
Oh my God, all this family are idiots. I'm trying to read a book.
It's just Joseph complaining about Japan. Oh, what's with this cramped room? Japan is shit. I hate it.
Holly just swooning over her son.
Yeah, and her son just being incredibly
rude to everybody.
And rude, yeah.
Or maybe it's the opposite, you know, even when he's saying, have a nice day at school, honey, he's all, get off me, you bitch. And he's finally leaving him saying, I shouldn't have said that, you know, I shouldn't have lashed out, but man, I'm so mad at my father, why isn't he here?
Yeah, I kind of feel bad for Dio now.
More of this.
No, good news there is going to be, I imagine. I can't imagine I take it as some swerve and it becomes a completely different series to what it is now.
Unless at the end of next episode they just go and fight Dio. I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't want it to end. I want this to run like Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, you're in luck.
Except it's a bit faster.
But yeah, a bit faster.
They have no need to stretch things out.
Yeah. Comparing it off the old 90s one. Again, directing is very, very sluggish. And kind of, it's way more contrived the way that, Jotaro, gets attacked by the possessed. Actually, in that one, it was a possessed schoolgirl. It kind of happened
straight.
It was like straight after he fell down the stairs now, and he kind of followed cackling off into the trees, and then it's possessed schoolgirl who attacks him when the pen is dead. But if it's felt like a way more contrived and that happened naturally, of course he'd go to the nurse's office and that's where he'll make his attack.
That's true. Also, he gets stabbed in the face with a pen still, which is...
Oh yeah, it looks like it's about to peel his face off.
I didn't think anything could stab through his face. I mean, like, all the guys look like their faces made of solid granite, so...
Thing is, why didn't his stand get in the way?
Stand is behind him.
Yeah. Also, wouldn't matter if it's like any damage to your stand is done to you.
So yeah.
Wouldn't have done much good.
So really, when the stand caught the bullet in the first episode, that really hurt his fingers. Shaking his hand.
It's almost as if Araki hadn't quite figured all the things out about the stands at this point in the story.
Don't worry. This is still the best. It's still great. Two episodes in, and it's up there.
Yeah, it's getting super enjoyable. I'm surprised at how much fun I'm having. I'm familiar with a lot of this arc, but it's really kind of fun to see it redone in such a really nice way.
You're saying about stand behind them. Someone must have done a GoGo 13 parody of him. getting a stand and then immediately killing his own stand because he's stood behind him.
I'm sure it exists. And if not, we could be got on record. Internet, don't steal this idea.
Oh, yeah. Let the internet ever listen or anything like that.
Our stats tell us that they like listening to us talk about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, or they just like listening to any podcast which talks about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Yeah.
Or me, on Dwayne. that's the only other common factor.
That could be it, yes.
Ray.
We had Elliot on the Battle Tendency episode.
Nah, it wasn't that.
Oh, yeah, Elliot's the killer.
He certainly made it a lot longer. Having an extra person talking about it.
I mean, look at this. This is like one episode discussion. And
we've been talking for as long as the episode.
Yes.
Longer.
Bradley Meek was complaining about that. I'm thinking, man, there's a lot to dissect here.
Exactly.
Bradley can never say anybody talks too long.
Exactly. More people.
I'm kidding, Bradley.
I'm sorry, Bradley.
That's because we're only talking about one episode. He's normally talking about
everything.
Hundreds of episodes across multiple series.
Yeah. I'm sure his bedroom is just laced with like
The Watchmen, like all those TVs at the end of Watchmen, and he's just watching every show.
Simultaneously. Like,
yeah.
Well, lifestyle.
Right, let's wrap this up. See you next week.
Bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye.
Give me a break.